It's Boss Bill Radio, episode 99, and what? I am Griffin Hoffman. With me this week, we have Gene Sofer, Jr.
Oh yeah, make sure you get that Jr. in there.
We also have Ryan Fielder.
Yeah.
And Andy Poppin is back.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, guys?
Fantastic.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Is it?
Tomorrow will be, but you know, today is tomorrow.
This works.
I feel like the
time
old,
travel.
Penultimate.
Andy, where did you find that awesome intro music?
Actually, some friends of mine, it's just a band that some friends of mine had for like 2 years, and then people graduated college and went to grad school and stuff, and they don't play anymore. But it's called Egg. It is on iTunes.
Egg?
Yeah, that song is called, what? I don't remember, what did I send it to you? Do You Feel Me or something like that?
Yeah, do you Feel Me?
Oh, I Feel Ya.
Yeah, it's great. Is it for purchase or free on iTunes?
It is for purchase.
Do those proceeds go anywhere anymore? Or?
That's a great question, because I didn't think one of the band members, I'm sure, is enjoying the proceeds.
There's a PayPal account out there somewhere that just has like $6.79 in it.
I've bought the album. That is
Did that money go right back to you? Probably not.
No.
Gene, it's been a while, man. You haven't really been here since. Have you been on with this multi-mic show before?
I don't believe the multi-mic, but it's been a long time, man.
Did you try a goldfish on your arm? Goldfish cracker, goldfish?
No, that was the hostess. She decided that I needed another tattoo, so I have a half goldfish buried under her hair on my arm.
Oh.
That's normal.
It makes me kind of sad because it's unfinished.
Hey, man, well, you can afford it. You know, you can get it polished up.
I suppose. Maybe better ink instead of like a Bic 2-point or whatever it is.
Still looks like a goldfish cracker.
I hate you.
So, what's everybody been doing?
Working and playing Halo 4 and Borderlands 2 and...
I hear you have about, what is it, five or six
I have,
level 50
see, that's
Borderlands 2?
See, I just found out today there's new content, so I have to download that. And the cap went out, so I have three characters I need to get back to the max, and I have two other characters to keep working on. And apparently, Borderlands 2 is worse than heroin, so I've probably sunk a ridiculous amount of time in that game.
Did you play the first DLC, the
pirate thing?
Pirate's Booty?
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Did you, and then you're getting the second one, which is what, Mr. Torx something or another?
I believe so. My roommate actually let me know that it was downloaded today, but I haven't actually looked at it.
Okay.
But I bought the season pass thing and every possible buyable thing for Borderlands 2, so I'm sure it'll be downloaded when I get home so I can, you know, disappear for another
Did you like Mad Moxie's Underdome Riot?
No.
Because that's what this one is about, I think.
So hard.
It's just Horde mode challenges.
Is it really?
Is
it doable one player?
That's going to make me very mad if it's the Mad Moxie Underdome business.
That was so much fun, except when
the
you get to level
business.
20, it's like it does not like you. The game hates you, there's no possible way to beat it unless you have three friends.
Well, I got pretty far on single player, but it was everything matches your level, so you just get loved in a very unloving
way. Yeah, unless you have the most amazing guns in the game, you cannot actually beat the levels.
Have you found any pearlescent stuff yet? Or
I have not.
Pearl necklace stuff yet?
No, I haven't got the money shot items yet, but I'm working on that. And you know, my pimp says he's going to reward me eventually. But
cha-ching!
But I've killed all of the optional bosses in Borderlands 2 except the what the hell's his name? The engineer guy in the DLC. And that guy is that guy sucks.
Is he a level 50 guy?
He's 54, but the worst part is you can't really damage him until you kill his four little loader buddies, and those guys are horrid. And you get one shot. Everybody goes in there, and if you die, well, bye.
You can't go back?
Nope. They shut the door on you. It's like one of those weird bathrooms in a club.
What?
Where
can you...
You can't go back at all.
Or you can go back, but that is only when everybody else dies.
Okay. So you definitely want to bring, like, a healer with you? Like, Siren would help you out if it's spec to heal?
Kind of, but there's... I'm trying to figure out some of his attacks. It gets ridiculous because you try to hide in the distance and shoot him or have somebody keep him busy, but he does this area of effect that just hits everybody, and it damn near kills him. Then if he hits everybody, he does it again, and then... Well, you're just shit out of luck.
Sounds like a bunch of bullshit.
It is.
Hide behind a small wall. I'm sure you'll be able to do it then.
The best I've found is like a hump in the ground, and that's
yeah,
it.
That's what I'm. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And I'm all over that hump, and it still is. It's not treating me so nice.
I've heard that about you.
Well, you know, everybody gets lonely.
So, besides Borderlands 2, you're playing some Halo.
Yes.
Halo 4.
I'm currently trying to beat it on Legendary because I want to know the extra 3-second clip at the end of it, what it's about. But I'm really happy with it.
Master Chief's in it.
Oh, dude, you just ruined it.
So, I've been playing that game too, and I have some questions for you.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was wondering, who is this, or what are these like progenitor species things? Are the Forerunners? What is that? What is it for?
To my understanding, the Forerunners were basically the stewards of the galaxy. They're this super advanced race that built all these technologically advanced just things and kind of just watched the galaxy grow. And eventually, what they explained in the fourth one is that they ran into like some super ancient Precambrian humans that were also advancing very quickly, and they were also invading their basic area, kind of like their garden, and just whooping butt. And it turned into this massive war where they were trying to experiment on the humans and then do something else with them and try and do this digital. I don't know. It was like a digistruct thing where they were trying to take physical matter and turn it into some kind of digital thing.
Yeah. Like animus shit.
Were there wormholes?
I don't think so. They call them slip space rushers, but they ended up...
Andy, are you a Halo guy?
I have played the third one.
Okay. Oh, God, that's such a terrible one.
Is that the only one you've played?
Yeah. I feel like there must be some, like, you know, same feelings as the Devil May Cry community has, where they're like, oh, well, you play them in a certain order, and the first is the best, and the second is the worst, and the third is the prequel, and it's actually the best, unless you play the Japanese version. And that's, like, Halo has the same weird following where people are like, well, the first is doesn't really count as a Halo game because it's combat evolved, and the second game is, you don't count that one either because you can dual wield, and then in the third game, that one just sucks because... the flood is back, and everything is actually all just about the novel Fault for Each.
Well, on the Devil May Cry thing, I'm not the one to ask, because I actually enjoyed this second one, and I'm sure somebody's trying to find out where I live to set my house on fire right now, but that was a fun one. For the Halo thing, it was the first and second...
No, Capcom's trying to find your house to, like, suck your dick and be like, we found him! The one person!
yeah, apparently. Well, they can keep making boy band Devil May Cries now, because those have no interest. But the Halo 1 and 2 were just fantastic. It was a great story. It was great gameplay. It had set this very epic like stage. It felt like you didn't have to read anything. You were just running along, and you were like in the middle of this holy shit, everything's going nuts kind of situation.
Yeah.
And then the third one, they removed half of that and made you read paragraphs to figure out what you were doing, because, you know, edumacation in this country, if you got to read,
reading.
It's horrible. You got them vowels and stuff.
And they're in the video.
I never read
games.
A single thing.
Fuck that.
I just wish that I could get that content beamed to my phone.
I have no idea. Like, I guess I just didn't really pay attention to the story. It was just like, shooting.
Okay.
Am I having trouble? Is
no,
this
you're
better?
Good. I'm just playing around with it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't read anything in Halo.
So that was now,
so you're saying that basically you liked Halo when there were Halos.
Yeah, and in Halo 3, to get more information on the storyline, you had to like hunt into these obscure spaces and find these emails basically and read them, and I felt a lot of the difficulty from Halo 2 was taken out of Halo 3. Like the enemy, the Brute, for example, when you, in the second one, you shot his helmet off, he went berserk, came over and, you know, made you his bitch. Mm-hmm. And the second one, they just lumbered around like a bunch of drunken Irishmen, and believe me, I know how that is. And no bueno.
So they're back in the fourth one. You've got Brutes again.
You do not.
You've got hunters, which are the same thing, right?
No birds.
No.
Fuck, I don't know this shit, man. See, I'm enjoying a lot of... I enjoyed Halo 4. Ryan, you were giving me a quizzical look when I said that the other day when I finished it. And, yeah.
I was very surprised when you said that.
Yeah, I had a great time playing that game and completing it. And then I'll blow your mind even harder right now. Get ready. I played Halo Online multiplayer for 3 hours last night and destroyed...
What the fuck?
I was
fuck?
Playing Big Team Slayer and just...
What the
I was,
fuck?
I was like top three every match. Wow. Except for the sniping matches. Because I guess I can't shoot people in the head.
Except for that one map where it's just a big-ass map versus...
No, yeah. That's why I really like this mode I was playing in Big Team Slayer where it's like... What was it? I think it was 8 on... No, 16 on 16,
yep.
I think. And
sounds like one hell
the
of an orgy.
All the maps are just huge. Yeah, that's my favorite. 16 on 16.
Wait till you get to like level 16. 30 versus level 30, like all across the board.
Actually, I like 16. 16 on 16.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was having a great time. Except, like I said, the sniping stuff was really lame because people are so good at like timing the Spartan lasers and hitting me with vehicles.
Halo has its own breed of snipers, you know. Yeah. Compared to other snipers in video games, like Halo is like point click. Mm-hmm. If it, like in Call of Duty, it's like point maybe click. You know, you might hit that guy if you were to hit the same spot.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So yeah, Halo is very, very precise.
Yeah, but you're also like, you know, there's no auto aim. You're not getting any support with like the automatically hone in on a guy and shoot him. I just had a lot of fun with it. You know, I like the shield part of it.
I'm just impressed that you played 3 hours of it.
Having watched Hunter play a ton of Black Ops 2 already, I feel like the Call of Dutification of Halo
duty
is going in the wrong direction.
Right.
So like instead of doing. What the focus is like you're increasing your Spartan level, which allows you to unlock more loadouts, and then you can have more customized classes, you can get more weapons, customize your armor, all this other stuff. Like, no real game breaking things like you start with a sniper rifle or something, but you know it offers you more customization as time goes on, and as you level up, and you can make your dude look cooler. What it's really
you get that extra shoulder pad.
Yeah, you can have mismatched shoulder pads.
Oh, Billy!
But what I noticed it was missing was while I'm playing the match, like there's nothing happening besides just the match. Like in Call of Duty, there's somebody talking and yelling shit at you all the time. There's music. God, yeah. There's cues of like, oh, this noise happened, so that means this must be going on over there. Call of Duty. Or Halo, just like the map is so big, you're not hearing all those noises all the time. Oftentimes, unless you're playing like a really close match or capture the flag something, you're not getting the audio cues. So a lot of the times, it just ends up being like a really silent match, which feels weird. So if you want to Call of Dutify your Halo 4, it shouldn't be less like rewards for leveling up. There should just be more shit going on all the time.
More explosions in the background? Is that what you want?
I want
a bunch of hunters. No, that'd be awesome.
I want like a Master Chief like yelling shit at me.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck their other team up, soldier.
I hate that.
So
go take their bomb back.
Whatever that guy is. I don't know. The
Sergeant
General
Johnson.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah, he could do that. He'd be good at it.
Yeah.
But
two
I'm not
sticks
interested.
And a rock.
Get Cortana, voice actress, in there. Be like, you know, oh my gosh, we're losing. Let's try harder.
I'm getting stuck. Master Chief gave me the rapture, it itches.
Digital constructions.
I haven't played Halo 4 online, and I the last online Halo I played was Halo 2, and I got really tired of the I'm Rick James bitch, so I've never played an online Halo after that. It was ridiculous.
That's why if you ever play multiplayer games, you just turn all the microphones off.
That headphone, yeah.
No, that you can play online games now, and you won't hear that. But
I wanted to punch a child or something horrible.
That's not normal or healthy for any human being. So
no, child punching is not very good.
No.
Neither is yelling Rick James after you shoot somebody.
That's really
bitch.
Did you notice, Gene? I found this thing really funny in the game. If you play, if you jump in the Mantis, the big walker mech?
Oh yeah,
you can crouch.
I did notice that, and I was like, what purpose does that serve?
I guarantee you there's only one purpose that serves, and that
is to
allow for robotic teabagging.
I'm surprised, like, those stupid, like, nut sacks that everybody has on their trucks doesn't fall out.
But I really, it struck me, like, playing Halo 4 multiplayer and then, like, watching Call of Duty 2 or Black Ops 2 and, like, just the major differences. Like, Halo 4 is just such a different and interesting first-person shooter for me than Black Ops is. Like, Black Ops is such twitch-based, like, Call of Duty is such twitch-based shooting. Like, this one seems like there's a little bit more strategy in spread out over a longer amount of time because there's more survivability. So I really enjoyed that part about
it. Makes sense.
I think the Halo, the concept with the shield was great, where it's like you get one free shot, and that's it. Yeah.
You also get a way to tell what your health is actually at. Like, when I was playing the single players too, I really like that, because if your shield goes down, you know you don't have anything left. Like, you better go hide. You can maybe get lucky and take another hit, or, you know, you're probably going to die. But in Black Ops 2, it's like, hey, your guess is as good as mine when you're going to fucking die. Eventually, this jelly is going to cover the entire screen.
Did he die from a gunshot or a stroke? Because he just fell over. He got the diabetes.
So, in Halo 4, I was replaying it again last night. And
what the fuck?
Because I played it on normal, and I replayed
went up
it.
One.
Yeah, I put it. Is that lead heroic?
Heroic, yes. Is the second to last hardest.
Okay, it's medium.
Wait, actually played something harder than
default setting. Yeah. Well, I started playing it, and I got to the exact point in the game when I was like, "This is where I'm not going to be able to proceed any further." And I got there, and I was like, "Yep." I tried it like three times, and I was like, "I could keep banging my head against this and eventually I'll get through it, but this is no longer fun for me." So I stopped and then just played a bunch of multiplayer.
You could always do what me and my roommate did, where we were ridiculously obsessed with Halo 2, where we started playing through on Legendary, and then we started playing through using only the crappy plasma weapons, and that was... God, that was stupid.
No, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound fun at all.
It really wasn't, but...
Nothing on Legendary is ever fun.
Yeah, that part of when you get to that like level of masochism in a game, it just doesn't seem enjoyable. Like, I'm just wasting my own time at that point.
You can play it with other people, but it's just that many or that harder. You know, you got three people.
Yeah,
it's three times harder.
The other question I was going to have for you, Gene, is: have you played much of the what's that additional multiplayer mode? Not the Spec Ops. When you go to the Infinity and you play the...
I have not. I've once again, I got scared away with the Rick James business. So
it's all co-op though.
Really?
And you can play it single player, and there's a story for it.
I may have to check that out, because I love like reading little extra bits of content for the story.
I was hoping you had touched this, because there's movies that go along with each episode. And the episode is doled out over one season of the game, and you get it for free by getting the game. And
don't you have to go to like the Halo
waypoint?
Something? Yeah, because I got some little extra bits of videos. There's like, just log into the Halo waypoint.
That's the shit for the in-game stuff, where you're like, you find a console and you try and access it, and it's like, you've unlocked a video to watch somewhere else.
But first, you have to give us your social security number.
Yeah, that thing right there is why I do not play Halo anymore.
Just because, right. Just you don't want to.
It's on you're Xbox.
Not an American citizen.
It has.
All right, old man. Like, okay.
Then I think there's a lot of just leftover Halo elitism, I guess. Or there's a lot of the players that are hardcore into Halo just radiate that I'm so cool because I'm good at Halo. So
which
this
is weird.
My douchebag card, you know. And
yeah.
Those people you only meet online, though. You don't meet people anymore who say I'm so cool because I'm good at Halo because high school is over.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I got an email. They're like, Halo careers, you can make money while playing this. I was like, well,
are you sure? Do you know the difference between an email and the side of a Facebook advertisement?
No, but I've been sending money to this prince in Africa, and apparently I'm going to be getting some money here.
How's your degree with Phoenix Online going?
Fantastic. My basket weaving degree comes in the mail tomorrow.
How about the VCR repair? Looking good? Eh?
Yeah, I suddenly sank too much money in that to realize I need to go all the way.
Air conditioner maintenance? In the bank. It's a 2-for-1.
A 2-for-1?
So I was hoping you would play some of this side stuff, the mode that I forget the name of, because Spartan Ops. Because I was playing it, and I played a couple missions of it, and I watched the intro video, and then I watched the next episode's intro video.
Is that Horde mode?
Yes, God. No. It's Spec Ops, like from Modern Horde Warfare mode. 2. Yeah.
Like from Halo 3 Horde, or whatever
it was. Gears of War?
No, it's not Horde mode.
No, Halo 3 had a Horde mode. I forget what it was called, but it was a long time ago. It was
called Dumb.
Everybody in the same lobby, let's fight these guys and get the most points.
Okay, it's not that.
No?
It's not that. It's Spec Ops. Like, so you from have Modern to do Warfare specific 2. Thing, like, yeah. Okay. It's like a self-contained mission that is really simple, and you have just like a handful of objectives that's basically just kill everything or disable this thing or shoot this other thing. That's what it is. Right. But you play it together cooperatively with friends. Or
I like doing those a lot.
I do too, yeah. And then you're
do
also
you like
getting
doing
points
that
and
when you don't know who's on the other end?
Well, no. I just don't play it with other people if that's the case.
Yeah, it's going to be a friend of mine, or I'm not going to, because I don't want to make friends online.
Yeah.
It seems like a waste of time.
No. I don't want to talk to anybody online if I don't have to.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, no kidding. And I always feel like I'm the danger for the stranger, because it's always like some young kid like, oh, how you doing? I'm like, oh,
they're always British, too.
They're always
you guys
better
know
than
about
me.
LeBron James?
Always better than me, also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's because as an adult, you just don't have gajillions of hours to play video games anymore.
It's true.
Unfortunately. The single player you can play cooperatively, and there's just two fucking Master Chiefs running around.
I love that.
Oh, really?
Oh, look, there's an action scene. Suddenly there's one Master Chief again climbing up this elevator thing.
You were the same Master Chief climbing the elevator in the same scene, yeah,
he's
but
just,
different.
Maybe he's got the rapture, too. He's just seen all kinds
it's
of
schizophrenic,
crazy.
Man.
Oh, look, there's an elite punch master. Even though he's got a sword.
I like that game, though. And I was reading a ton about Halo crap. Like, after I finished it, I was like, wait a second. I really like Halo.
Uh-oh.
So,
yeah, no,
it's a
no.
good story. It so, is a good story.
It's not, though. That's
this
the
guy
thing.
Has never liked Halo ever.
It's a terrible, terrible story.
How is no, it a I, terrible I think story? I think it's a poorly told story.
Yeah, well, okay. I would say this is why... Okay, the story of Halo is like a B summer movie. Like, it is popcorn at best, and it's like an action thriller, maybe. But what makes it so awesome is how the like cross media is embraced by the original designers and like just how much depth there is to their universe. Like yes. Out the gate, they're like, yeah, this is slip space. This is their faster than light travel. Would you like to read this Wikipedia entry on how this works? And I'm like, yes. What else would I would rather be doing right now? Nothing. So I'm like, let me compare this with my Mass Effect Wikipedia page. Like,
oh,
I just love the depth that it goes to explain its universe, and then how it's like, yeah, those comics you read, totally true. We're not going to say they were dumb or wrong.
Not yeah. false.
Yeah, like sure, Master Chief was a kid with a coin and a space in his teeth, and he was the first. I don't know, fuck some Wikipedia crap I was reading here like this week, but everything that they say is just. It's like
you could take him out of the equation and put anyone, though.
You can, yeah. He's a blank slate.
Which is why he's successful.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, he's the faceless, badass mace. Mace. Mate.
Space mace.
The Marine.
Space I love space mace.
Yeah.
Gross, man.
The only one that came close to that was like the
this game would be
guy.
So much different with space mace.
Space mace.
Just imagine a brute like coming at you, and you're just like,
oh, I thought the brute was going to be holding like this medieval space mace,
oh, no.
Like swinging the space.
I was thinking
flail.
About like bear spray. Like
that is awesome.
Don't space mace me, bro.
Cortana's feeling too. Stranger danger.
So, Andy, you brought up the Forward Unto Dawn a couple weeks ago. And how that was just Starship Troopers.
Yep.
You know what? I watched all of it, and I would say it's not as good as Starship Troopers.
Yes.
But that's
I only made it through like the first episode. So I have no real opinions that are valid, but
it's good because the drama actually is enjoyable as time goes on. Like, I really like their like the OC style storytelling where it's like, this is pseudo reality bullshit that we write, but it looks real. Uh-huh. That was better than when Master Chief came in and they're like, we're going to turn this into an action film. And I'm like, oh, no. So watch like 1 through 3 and then skip the last two. But at the opening of each one, it has this little segment with Cortana interacting with Master Chief when he's in cryostasis. And I was going to run this theory past you because something's going on with her and her like putting these weird little like tendrils into his containment unit. Hmm. Like these red tendrils into there. And it's like she's talking about killing him because she's going to take him down with her. And then
why does she want to do that?
Because she's going crazy.
I think the only probably explanation that I can come to with that is that they mentioned that she was the first AI that was based off of some DNA thing of the doctor later, where so she's almost like a created digital critter.
Dr. Halsey, yes. Right? Okay, so here's the other thing that I noticed, like, is just to bring your attention to something in the Halo universe as a novice. So that intro, right? Right when you start up Halo 4 campaign, it starts with this absolutely gorgeous pre-rendered cutscene. And it depicts John at a very young age in like this, you know, Matrix style, like birth pod sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it closes up on his face, and then his face transitions into Dr. Halsey, who's talking about the Spartan program. But it's really bizarre, the transition that it makes, because it gives me the feeling that they're trying to show, like, oh, this person is very closely related to this person.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking, is John Spartan, or is John 117 actually the son of Halsey?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so, but it's possible. Where he's the first super successful Spartan, where he was the one like changed everything. But I think more of that gets answered in the Reach game, which I never played because Halo 3 was
terrible.
It
doesn't get answered in the Reach game.
No, no. Definitely not.
But I read online that he's the son of some parents, and she took him in as the first soldier, and then her and Keyes kind of raised him.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that. Where it's not necessarily like her like genetic descendant relation, where it's she is or he is the culmination of her life's work. Where she looks at him like he is the perfect, you know, example of what this program can create.
Yeah.
Because they alluded to that at the beginning, where they wanted to kind of copy that and recreate John as another and create another Spartan program.
Right. And I really liked the bit with what's his name? I'm blanking out.
It doesn't.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
We're talking about the story of Halo.
Yeah. I just had a stroke there.
You could say Adam.
John Spartan's character. Not John Spartan. That's Demolition Man. John 117's little like character in relation to her. Like, that's the obvious route that you take, where you're like, yeah, he's the ideal for her program. But I just think it would be so much cooler if it was like actually her kid that she put through this horrible, torturous training program and, like, sent to his death, basically. Yeah. I think that'd be much more interesting in terms of a drama.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Give that up to
that is what Halo players want.
Yeah.
What?
That's really what the Halo players are looking for. Is
and more that's drama. Why they keep playing.
It's a really quality, dramatic.
They keep paying $60 drama. Every time.
Yeah. Hey, I might buy that game now because...
You're joking, right?
No, I might. I'm really
You've
considering...
Never bought... Really?
But I'm having such a good time with it, and I really appreciate the story. And I probably am not going to even play it that much anymore, but just to support that product, I think it's great, because I'm having a good time with it. I
like that. I'm very confused with you right now.
It's probably the first Halo since the second one that I have thoroughly enjoyed, mm-hmm. where I didn't stop and think, man, this is lame, or why in God's name are they doing this? You know, I enjoyed every bit of it. I'm glad they didn't bring back the Flug, because that horse is buried dead and been... Stepped on a couple of times.
I guarantee they're in that game somewhere.
They're not.
Help me, God. No, if I see the flood, I quit.
They're in there somewhere.
If that's the last 3 seconds, will you shoot yourself in the face?
I will probably beat myself with a mace. Space mace.
Space mace. Deal.
We have two different space mazes. I think that's called a gravity hammer, right? That's a space maze.
Oh, like, that's a gravity hammer,
except
I believe.
Except Tuhumian got canceled that, last week.
That really bugged the hell out of me that there was a gravity hammer at the end of that game. So I was looking at that like, wait, that's you know, a Covenant item. That's what the hell is that hairy bastard's name?
Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, whatever, Harriet Tubman. That's his Master specific Chief. Weapon. Why is it floating in this room on a Forerunner thing?
Maybe he found it.
Maybe
it was a Forerunner thing. He was like, this is cool, I'm taking it.
Yeah, I think that was just one of those moments where they're like, fuck it.
Hey, check out this giant Q-chip that blows stuff up.
Yeah, I found one of those in multiplayer and had a good time with it. That game, though, I'm very, very surprised with how I feel about it. And
I'm very surprised with how you play video games anymore.
Are you having some confused feelings?
I don't even
Griff?
Know who you are.
I know. To blow your mind once again, yet again.
Oh, here we
there's
go.
No more mind to even blow. It's just, it's shattered. But here we go. Try this on for size. I played Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and I played the campaign, and then I beat it. And then I played it again.
What the Wait, but fuck? But did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't play a game.
I did
if he
it as a
like
joke.
It.
I fell down this hill.
I'm just gonna play this sure one more time so I right. can say this.
Right. Now, okay, I haven't played this game, I haven't seen anything about it except for that it's near future. Right. Well,
Griff
okay.
doesn't
it,
like
it's flashbacks,
Call of
right?
Duty games.
Is that right? Is
yeah,
it goes
yeah.
between this and then like
Absolutely.
A past thing, and then it goes
yep.
in between near future.
Yeah, it's like Lost Season 4.
And in oh, that point, boy. Like fuck you, like I don't care how good it is. Like,
what do you?
I feel manipulated, basically, and
because
like,
I told you it's like Lost
no, not fuck you, fuck somebody who was like, you know what, this would be, you know, would be a really cool thing to do now after we did all these awesome, really good games. This is just like shit all over. It. Like,
oh, like Lost Season 6.
Yeah, like hey, it's or like art. It's like Lost, and then like, all right, now I'm done. Like
Earth Defense 2.
What?
Earth Defense Force 2.
Yeah.
I have a lot of issues with Lost.
Yes.
So do you?
This game
too.
Likes Earth Defense Force.
Earth Defense Force, the first one for the Xbox. And
would you guys say you're the Earth Defense Force Defense Force?
EDF. That's not erectile dysfunction.
No, you're EDF, or EDFDF.
Sure. You shoot stuff and get a sniper rifle that fires a nuke and kills yourself because apparently it blows up.
Sounds like Borderlands too.
I love that game.
I'm just really disappointed because, like, that was what people would... Okay, when the first Black Ops came out, when people thought, hey, the next Black Ops going to be? Some asshole in the back said, hey, it's probably going to be, like, in the future. And everybody was like,
Wouldn't that be dumb?
Oh, look, it's in the future.
And then they...
Well,
oh,
where...
Man,
what would you have it be? Griff obviously.
I don't think Black Ops needs to happen. That's what I think. I think they need to take a year off and make a better one.
Okay,
like,
did you guys all play Black Ops, right? Call of Duty Black
yes.
Ops. So you,
Way
you know
too
the
much.
You know I the didn't. Story, you know the campaign, right? Did,
right.
You all
yep.
finished it. Ryan, did you finish the campaign?
Yes.
Okay. So it's the story of Alex Mason and him getting like brainwashed by this Russian dude to kill these other
right.
people in a revenge story. And then you know, simultaneously, while your character is having flashbacks to figure out what has happened in his past to cause him to go crazy,
right.
he's also existing in the future trying to deal with the present time and what these numbers mean. You're not playing in the present, per se. You're playing in the past through these flashbacks.
And the cutscenes are in the present.
Yeah, it's conveyed
yeah.
through the medium of the present and going through his flashbacks.
And then you play multiplayer in the present.
Yeah, I don't play multiplayer.
You're talking about Black Ops uh-huh. 2 right now?
But, I mean, you play multiplayer, and
dude, I got
it
nothing.
Doesn't matter because it's
I got
multiplayer.
You. Right.
So Black Ops 2 takes off from Black Ops.
So it's in the 60s still? Like,
well, no, it's actually in 2025.
Right, but the flashbacks are from
right.
the 60s.
Yeah, actually, they're
yeah,
closer to
the
70s.
Same.
Okay, whatever, yeah.
No, well, so,
hairs there.
No, because this is important, because at the end of Black Ops, we're left with almost a dead cast, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's pretty much nobody left except for, like, Hudson, Mason.
Ghost is still alive, man. Ghost
Shut
still
up.
There.
Fuck
He's
Ghost.
Still there.
Fuck Ghost. with you know, Hudson, Mason, and I don't know, maybe one other guy. That guy with
Larson,
the eye patch or something. Like, yeah,
another son.
Steinfeld.
It's a lot of Norse, you know.
So you're left with your crew, and this game picks up with actually you having to go rescue Woods because he didn't die.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you're going to find Woods, who didn't die because Mason actually was hallucinating through most of that final segment, and none of that actually happened.
Like, wow, like, such bad writing.
Hold on. They say
the guy who wrote The Dark Knight wrote this game.
Ugh.
Literally, the final segments of Black Ops.
It was all a dream. Literally, that's...
They're like, that didn't happen. Just an illusion.
Psych. Yeah.
No, because I love stories that it's like, hey, remember that cool thing that happened? Oh, dude, it's just a dream.
Literally, the last seconds of Black Ops was airplanes flying overhead and fireworks going off and people saluting you and boats getting boners and shit like that. Like, that's the same ending in this game. Like, But, okay, like, why am I defending Black Ops and for the first time in my life?
I don't know.
I never played Black Ops.
Okay,
because I'm very weird and I'm very speculative as why do you like this game?
Okay, the reason why this game is so good, I'll throw it to you really quick. You know when you play first-person shooters and they're like, hey, here's a subjective you have to do, go do it. And you're like, okay, game, I will go
done.
Yeah, I'll go capture this point.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, I'll go do it. And you're like, well, fuck you. I've got infinite amount of time to go capture this point. Or, you know, I'm in no hurry. I'll play really cautiously.
Uh-huh.
Like side questing.
So what happens if you don't do that?
That's usually what happens for Call of Duty for me. I'm just, like, hiding undercover, and then I'll, like, poke my head out and kill another dude. And then,
well, given... Okay, so Call of Duty Black Ops 2 has a lot of forking paths.
Uh-huh.
So what that means is there'll be a situation when the game will say, like, hey, you need to go do this thing.
So that's why you played it twice.
And yeah, if you don't do it fast enough, or if you mess up and somebody dies, like, the game will just be like, okay, you're still playing and this story is still going on.
So it's like Fable.
Oh, but like a side story gets cut off right there.
Well, except,
let's not,
no,
take it easy.
here's where Black Ops is so interesting is it doesn't make it so apparent to be like, everything slows down, and it's like, what do you choose? A or B? Which one do you want?
Do
you
want?
Are you good or evil?
Yeah. Like, what is it?
Can you shoot this guy quick enough, or else, you know?
Yeah, that happens. Like, when you burst through a window, and it does the slow time thing. And,
right.
Like, and if you get him or you don't.
Hostage, right. He's gonna die, or you save him.
Or previous Call of Duty games have conditioned you to be like, okay, we breach this door, and I'll shoot. There's five guys in the room,
right.
And I shoot three of them,
yep.
And then the time kicks back in to real speed, and then I can just pick those last two dudes off.
Or
like,
something.
In this game, it would throw you a curveball and mess with your expectations, and it's like, time slows down, you shoot these guys, and then time goes up, and somebody runs away, and you can't get them. And you're like, well, fuck. Now I can't get that person.
Wait, is that bad?
Well, I don't know if you're because into a
if
place
he runs away, you don't
away.
Have to kill. Okay, it's another guy you don't have to kill.
Here's a very concrete example from the game. You are going to this really posh city where it's like it's like that hotel in Dubai. That's like
Dubai. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a parody or a mirroring of that, and you're going to there to find this information that's been. That you've, like, ascertained from some espionage. And you know, you go there and you're looking for this thing called karma. And you end up finding that karma is not a weapon. You find that it's a woman. A person. So then you go and you collect this person. And while you're collecting her, she doesn't trust you and escapes.
Right.
Then she gets captured by the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
And this is where the branching storyline happens. The bad guy capture her, and they're like, you need to get out of this place because it's going to blow up because they put bombs in it or some shit like that.
Right.
Why else would you blow up?
Okay, yeah, good one. So you're trying to escape, but then you're also trying to rescue her from the dude that captured her. In the meantime, the automated defenses of this location are fighting you and the terrorist in it.
Uh-huh.
So there's this three-way battle going on. But then it's also like you need to get to her and rescue her as fast as possible. You catch up with her, and then you get into a firefight with the guy that took her hostage.
Time out.
Are you this Tom Cruise?
Time out. These are automated defenses. Uh-huh. So is this?
There's robots and shit.
But you said it was all the actual playing was in like the 70s.
No, I didn't. I said that was Call of Duty.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
Black Ops. Or I said that was Black Ops. Black Ops 2 is set in 2025.
All of it. No flashbacks.
There are flashbacks to about 1970 when you're going to rescue Woods, and then the story of... I haven't even scratched the surface about why this game is so good in terms of its storytelling.
Okay, so if you forget that it's a Call of Duty game...
I'm going to change it up here. I'm not going to go on a long tangent. You guys ask me questions specifically about the game. Okay.
I'm very impressed because Griff actually likes this game. Andy likes Halo, which...
I mean, I'm going to play it.
Either Jen is like messing with his mind right now, or he's starting to like shooters.
I'm interested in the fact that in shooter games, I love when there's a three-way battle, like between the defenses and, like you said, the terrorist or whoever the hell they are. I'm assuming it's terrorists because it's always terrorists.
Yeah.
And you having this objective to rescue this girl. I'm assuming where it branches is either A, you successfully rescue her and get the hell out of Dodge, or B, she dies and you're like, well, let's go find another hooker or something.
No, that sounds interesting.
That's where it is so good because it is actually, it's pre-A, B, and C. So you go there, and it's like your B and C options are where you go there and you rescue her. And then everything is good. You kill that dude. She's rescued. You proceed with everything as that little story beat goes. The C way is she gets away with the dude that captured her. Then what happens? Well, then you're given a side mission in Call of Duty that's like, do you want to go rescue her?
Mm-hmm.
Then, all the way at the end of the game, you encounter the dude that kidnapped her alongside the main bad guy. And now you have an additional challenge at the end because of your earlier failure.
Uh-huh.
That sounds fucking amazing.
Then pre-A is in the level before. If you screwed up the espionage section and you didn't get the data you were supposed to be recording, you don't know what the hell you're supposed to be looking for, and you're not given any of that stuff in the first place.
Huh.
That's interesting.
It does sound
amazing.
Okay, and then what makes it even better is all of that stuff stacks and stacks and stacks on top of other decisions in other levels.
So you could just jump into this game, guns blazing, and beat it. But it's not going to matter.
It's not the ending. No, I get it. It sounds really interesting. I'm just really mad that the Call of Duty franchise is future warfare now.
Really? Where did they go?
I'm not going to treat it like Call of Duty. Okay. Because it's not. It's not Call of Duty.
Do you want them to go Halo?
Yeah, but after a while, companies are going to want to sit there and paste the name Call of Duty because they're terrified.
Like, I get it. Like, I mean, there's only so many World War II video games.
Let me try and alleviate some of your fears, Andy. When I was going into Black Ops 2, I was worried that it was all going to be just like, I'm this fucking quarterback who's issuing orders to my goddamn robot friends to go blow shit up. And it becomes this really, really shitty RTS where I'm like telling my helicopters to go to this area and I'm pointing my tanks to go to this area and I just sit back with my space mace and shoot stuff. Like,
what the hell is that?
The idea that ever even came into your head actually offends me.
That's not really what I was expecting. I'm honestly just offended by the concept. It's kind of like Assassin's Creed 3 where I was mad because I felt like it was an easy thing.
Okay,
so what would
I'm
you just
like, I'm
going to
play it. I'll probably enjoy it. I'm sure it was a great game. I resent them for making me play through this.
Okay,
but you don't have to play through it.
What I'm trying to tell you, though, is the futuriness of it isn't that bad. Okay. It's basically just a present day with a handful of like technical upgrades that we don't have
like
right now.
Right.
It's like reading popular science or popular mechanics.
Have.
You're like, that machine can walk on its own. The future.
Yeah. For some reason, I keep staring at those walking robot things, and they make me mad because that. Oh my god, those things would be horribly inefficient.
You just can't kick it over?
No. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, look, there's a log that's too big. It looks like your mobile tank thing is screwed because it can't jump.
Your tanks can jump.
Yeah. Well, usually tanks just roll over it.
Modern warfare. I mean, this started a long time ago because I really liked the historical fiction of Call of Duty, and so Modern Warfare was about as far as I was willing to go. I'm like,
now play Medal of Honor,
Battlefield, or
give yourself a lobotomy.
What was that game?
It's never going back to that. No, that is over.
No, Medal of Honor. Did you play that?
No, I did not.
Play it.
You'll change your mind.
No, it's not very good.
Fuck you.
It's not very good.
Really? I can't think of the name of that game that you issued voice commands for all your like friendly ships.
Tom Clancy's End War.
Oh my god, that was a horrible game.
Yeah, horrible, when Tom Clancy was making video games.
Or I liked Rainbow Six, Las Vegas 1 and 2.
Speaking of which, I want another Splinter Cell like really bad, and I'm tired of waiting.
It's coming out. Blacklist. Yeah.
Is it out now?
No.
Is it coming?
Yeah, next year.
Hey,
it's weird. It's like young Sam Schiffer. That's Schiffer. Sam Fisher.
The last one was like 5 years ago.
Now the last one was what?
What was it? Conviction.
Hey, they have a new hit, man.
It's in the mail.
Conviction. Right?
Yeah. Conviction.
And that was about three. I played that on the Wii.
What the fuck?
No, just time. Because like, that's what I had at the time, and I was poor
say,
in college.
Wee?
Yeah, well, because that's how you should say that word, first of all.
How do you say the Wii U?
You should say it quiet and like ducking. Because
I'm ashamed. I still play Smash Brothers on it.
Hey, amazing game. I'm excited. Actually, that just leads me to the game that I am very excited to play, the new Metal Gear. I've never played a Metal Gear in my life. Always been Xbox.
Right.
And now it's coming
to the Wii.
Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I'll play
the
shit
Wii.
Out of that. Yeah. I can't believe
okay,
it now.
This is perfect segue to talk about PlayStation something or another. Help me, Andy. What was it?
All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Oh,
whatever game I walked in on you guys
playing.
But
you have to say it like, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
With that princess and cake.
I just got to get this last bit on Black Ops 2. And it took me by surprise because the storytelling is not, like, okay, you play that game, and it is a fantastic thing that is happening in a Call of Duty game, where you're like, you finish the game, and you immediately want to go talk to somebody about how their end game played out, what decisions
cool.
they made. That doesn't
really?
Happen. Yeah.
Right. That's cool.
It doesn't happen in Call of Duty games. Like, you don't go play a first-person shooter, and you're like, dude, how did your story turn
right.
out?
Like, Modern Warfare was like, Modern Warfare 2 was like, dude, how did you feel about killing a bunch of people in an airport? And then Modern Warfare 3 was like, dude, how did you feel about that guy hanging himself at the end? I mean, whoops, did I just give everything away? Whatever. If you haven't played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I'm sorry.
You're probably not listening.
Guess
this.
What? The guy hangs himself.
Right. But all you can do is regurgitate the story that has already. You're like, you threw that knife in that guy's face. But once you play this game, that's why I went back and immediately replayed it, because I was like, oh my god, I want to know what happens for the things that I did
to play it on a harder difficulty, or did you just go?
I started playing as normal, and you get to this one really shitty level, and I was like, fuck it.
No.
You get to this level with horses, and things are constantly shooting you.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
And you can't take cover, like, because you're on a goddamn horse. So I was like, yep, easy.
Yeah, that's
I will also. I do also want to say that Raul Menendez, the bad guy in the game, there are a couple missions where you play as him, and it could be one of the best villains of video games this year, easily. Like, he's such a cool character, designed, well fleshed out. He's very human, but then you also play this level as him, and it's just like, fucking badass.
There needs to be a guy behind him at all times with maracas.
Or a banjo. Just a mandolin. Yeah. But I must.
I must kill every single person
in America. It sounds great. It sounds like they're trying to do something with the franchise, which is, up until now, it has been just shooting.
I have been doing this podcast for a couple of years, and I've never heard him say he likes a Call of Duty game ever. So
he's probably broken now, right?
No, it's very weird for me to not be playing the Call of Duty game, and him saying he likes it.
Yeah,
I'm very weirded out right now.
I think this is the best Call of Duty game since Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 or 2. I don't know.
Well, whatever, 1 was amazing. So
whichever one you
route.
Think is the best Modern Warfare game. It's as good as this. That.
Okay. Well, but still, fuck you. Like, I'm sure I'll love it. I'm just mad about that.
The nice thing is, you can play it in 5 to 8 hours. Like, if you put it on easy, like I did, you can burn through it quick. There are these weird little side missions you can do that I kind of alluded to. You don't need to do them if you don't really want. It will affect the ending, big time.
That's okay.
So, how many endings have you seen?
I've seen two very different endings. Very different endings. But I think there are just tons and tons of permutations of that endings of that ending, because it also gives you little extra bits where it's like, and then, you know, and then Sergeant Johnson went on to be the star quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
And he started giving all the Miami Space Dolphins to charity.
Yeah, it's just Animal House shit once again. But done well.
It sounds like how I felt finishing Halo 3 and thinking, wow, this is terrible, I'm never going to play Halo again. And then Halo 4 presented everything that was good that I enjoyed about Halo again. And in Black Ops 2 is probably the only Black Ops where I really am looking at it thinking, I might have to play this.
You could
blame it on Griff.
You could probably skip Black Ops,
exactly,
but,
like you.
But play Black Ops 2, just for the storytelling bit. Now,
all right.
Last thing I have to say about Black Ops, and this ties what we talked about before. Black Ops 2 is not as good as Halo 4 because because Halo 4 is a better game overall, and the storytelling is better.
You're talking strictly single player.
Yes. Well, actually, no. Well, I haven't actually. I don't want to get into that. But
it's not a good time.
It's different. That's not fair to compare Halo and Black Ops.
What Black Ops 2 does so well is giving you choices as a player.
Right.
Halo 4 does not give you that in terms of a story.
It's a story on rails.
Yes.
Yeah.
But once playing both those games back to back, you see how much cooler a game like Halo could be if it offered you more choices. Yeah. But then I also am playing Halo 4, and I'm like, this is just a better game all around than any Call of Duty game has ever been, because
right.
of just how well everything is stitched together. Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes it's like, here's this dropship into the next location. In Black Ops, there are moments where it's like, here's this gap between one level and the next, and literally there is no connection, and I go back to it, and I'm like, you could run two trains in parallel through this gap in this story because it is such bullshit that they have this being the case.
Right.
But you get sucked into it so well because of how it's paced and how the choices are yours,
so I think
that you forget about it.
There's a catch-22 when they give you almost options that affect the ending, where in Halo, in the respect for that, where it's a story on rails, where it feels like you're almost running through a book, where it's an intriguing enough story that you feel like you are the antagonist view and you are fighting your way to see how this story ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I something that I've always hated about multi-choice endings, and I do enjoy playing some of those games, but when it feels like you choose one path and it's early enough in the game where it just branches and spider webs into 100 other paths, and you're like, well, crap, now I have to go all the way back and try to figure out what the difference is. And I'm maybe it's specific to me where I'm that completionist where I have to know. I have to know what's different. I have to know how that affects everything. I'll be stuck playing this game for hours, and I'll hate the game for it. I'll be sitting there like that guy scratching his arm like, oh my God, I need another hit.
You're going to hate Black Ops 2 if you play it.
Oh, God.
Right out the gate. It's
just YouTube them. Man, like, come on.
That's the thing, though. I mean, just I feel like...
play the game.
If you go replay it one time straight from the beginning, you can do it differently enough that it'll be cool. And mm-hmm. it'll be fine. But then it's like, do you take this zigzag, then this zigzag, then this zigzag? What do you get from there? Like, it just seems fun in the actual doing of it.
But so Halo 4, is there fun in figuring out the different endings?
Not particularly.
No?
It's
You think it's all relatively the same?
I think it's a one-trick pony, where it's like, it does its awesome choice really well when you do it. But then after you do it once and then twice and maybe a third time, the parts that just take so long to get to the choices and the repetition in the like unskippable story parts where you're like, I have to walk slowly with my hand up to my ear, becomes so annoying.
That's,
you're like, not
that's
worth
Gears
it.
Of War.
Oh right. My God, don't even. Ugh.
There's a handful of walking slow through hallway sections.
You know what's really cool about a cutscene? When you have to see it about six times, because then you really get to appreciate
Like the end of Gears of War 3 when you're killing the fucking...
Okay.
You know what's another good one? Yep. God of War 2 and that Zeus bullshit.
Ugh. Speaking of God of War, we just sat down and played this new little game called
I saw that. I was excited to play whatever.
PlayStation Battle. Oh, shit. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
A game with a bunch of guys on the screen.
So this is, you know, if you want to be reductive about it, it's the Sony PlayStation Smash Brothers, right?
I love it. It's got Fat Princess. It's got Cake. That's all I need.
So,
is Ratchet and Clank in there?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I'm sold. That's all I need.
You can spend half your time shooting everybody else with that gun.
It doesn't matter. They're in the game. I'm there.
It's, man. You're going to have to get a PlayStation 3 for it.
I'm dug in too deep on Smash Brothers. And so right now, I think I could like it.
Do you still play Smash Brothers?
No, but it literally was like 6 or 7 years of...
Wow. No, see, like, that's where I'm coming from.
I have problems pushing the right buttons in this game, and it's going to take me a while to get
No, you
out
still
of that.
Have fun playing it with your friends.
Right.
That's like agreed. Mario Party. I have been playing the hell out
Do
of it.
Do you
that
hate
lately.
Yourself about because you're playing it?
I do. I feel like this giant man child. I'm like, hee hee hee, I get to play Donkey Kong. And then I hate the computer, and I see these cute characters, and I get mad and throw my paddle, and, well.
Yeah. Bitches.
Yeah bitches.
Ain't shit.
Bitches.
So, what kind of separates this game from the Smash Bros. Scene is... It's not all about knocking dudes off the screen to get your points. Your points come in actually building up the super meter, which then allows you to do a super move that is your only way of killing guys and getting points.
Like eating cake.
So each PlayStation mascot has a different move, and then there's 1 through 3 levels. Your first one is kind of like a single target attack, very simple, very laser-focused. Right. It can still take out multiple people, but it's, you know, kind of intended just to be like a one kill to attack. The second one gets a little crazier. You know, usually it involves something moving throughout the entire screen, taking out other opponents, or you controlling a souped up version of your dude who is able to move quicker and have one hit kills as they kill people and rack up points. Then the level 3 is going to be, you know, the super crazy one that usually is going to instantly kill everybody on the screen no matter what, or it'll put them in some situation where you can start making kills very, very quickly. So in that regard, it's, you know, very unbalanced if you're thinking it like a competitive game. So you just your regular attacks aren't doing anything to gain you points. It's only raising your super meter.
Right.
It sounds...
A whole lot of shenanigans.
Yeah. And there's a bunch
Mr. EDF.
There's a bunch of dumb PlayStation characters in it that aren't really PlayStation characters.
Sly Cooper.
One thing that I had a problem with, well, it's... Chihongo. We were talking about how it's not really going to be able to be a competitive fighting game. One of the pitfalls of fighting games that Smash Brothers doesn't have that this does have is corners. And wall, like, you can get backed into a corner.
Oh.
And that's not a huge deal, and it's always been a fighting game thing. Like, and as a person who plays fighting games, you learn how to mitigate that issue. But that was frustrating for me, coming from a different franchise.
Oh.
I think it's especially bad in this, and where everyone has the, under your chair, where it's especially bad where you have attacks that just keep... busting somebody up in the air and up in the air and up in the air.
Yeah,
and
juggling was pretty prevalent. I don't know. We really have nothing to say about this game because you need to play it well in order to be able to comment on it.
I mean, I noticed by the end of our like 30-minute match, Gene had figured out with almost every character some way to just spam some move and decimate everybody. And Andy, you picked up on how easy Kratos is to just...
Yeah,
decimate
there's
everything
a guy over there, like 10 yards away. I got him.
And the characters are so different in their abilities. Like, when I was... What the hell is that guy's name? The Little Big Planet character.
Sackboy.
Yeah, he runs up and hugs you, and that's his attack. Otherwise, he spawns books
and
warps around and then just gets beat like a redheaded stepchild. I mean, he's horrible. Horrible.
Right.
Well, horrible.
Yeah.
there is a major imbalance to the entire game. If you're looking at it with a critical fighting game eye, you know, that is the wrong game for you.
But you're supposed to be like, look, Sackboy's hugging somebody.
Right. I mean,
I think you're supposed to be looking at it like holiday season's coming up. Let's right. all play yeah. this game together.
And that works perfect. Like, yeah. the reason why I went out and rented this game eggnog. Was because I saw a video of it with Nathan Drake in a match where one of his moves was he falls down through a floor that forms underneath him and crumbles on top of his opponent.
So you're above your opponents.
This is jump. So hard to describe.
You jump, or I don't know, maybe he jumps automatically. I don't know. You jump, and then
no.
a rock, a sheet of rock, manifests underneath him, and then he falls through it, and the debris damages the opponents underneath you.
But not Nathan Drake.
No, not Nathan Drake is inadvertently through
magic
navigating the environment poorly
through his Indiana Jones fortune.
Whoops! I just gave you some damage.
Well, it's like everybody has that downward attack or whatever. Well, I guess almost everyone, except for Sackboy, but they all have that downward attack thing. And that Nathan Drake was fantastic. Like, yeah. Suddenly there's this floor floating in the middle of nowhere, and then there comes hell.
So that was what sold me on him when I was like, all right, I'm not. As a Street Fighter lover, like, I'm not going into this game as something that I will want to play as
weird,
competitive. Like, I'm going to play this because I want to see all the dumb fucking PlayStation homages. Like,
uh-huh.
I want to see, you know, what they do for Ratchet and Clank's special moves. Or Heihachi is, like, my personal favorite. Or fucking Raiden. Like, Raiden from Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is in it. And his level 3 super is I maybe tied for my favorite. It's so good where everybody just turns into cardboard boxes and you cut the cardboard box in half and then they die.
That was pretty fantastic.
It's brilliant.
And of course they have that Metal Gear theme.
The real, fact that you said his level 3 super is...
Yeah, this game has the right level of where the developers gave it the right level of, fuck it.
Right.
Like, it just makes it rock.
Do you guys
want
to play this game?
It's just got this quirkiness about it that begs to be explored. Like,
did you say quirk?
Quirky.
Captain like quirkiness. A quirk. There is a Captain quirkiness to it, too. But as you were saying, Gene, there is a quirkiness.
It makes you want to like explore and figure out what everyone's little like super thing was. I wasn't concerned about whether or not I was whooping or doing well. I just was like, hey, I wonder what this guy's level 3 thing is.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a problem because every time somebody had a super, I would just stop. Like, let's see what this is. No, yeah. I'm dead again.
So like, dead. Super's at the bottom of the screen, like saying press B.
Like, we weren't, I guess, playing it in a truly competitive way, if you even want to look at it like that, because we were all just interested in seeing the cool shit that everybody could do. So instead of playing strategically and using our supers at appropriate times to cancel other people's out or to you know, manage the flow of the battle better, instead we're just like, yeah, bank it until the end and fucking, like, roll the dice.
Just look at you strapped to a rocket. It's awesome.
It's a chicken shitting midget. I don't know, isn't that fucking hilarious?
That sounds like my Thanksgiving every year.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is really close to accurately what happens in this game. So, you know, go out and rent it, at least.
Yeah. I love that the fat princess attacks by eating cake. I love it. I don't know why I love it so much, but I do.
I'm confused.
Just have some cake. It'll be better.
Right?
You're absolutely right. Like, it is... PlayStation, despite failing on so many other levels with this game, putting it out right now for the holidays when it's like... Hey, you got your brothers and sisters home for the holidays, and you remember playing Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation 1 together back, you know, pre-Y2K. Like, like, hey, go get this game and bring everybody together and just play some dumbass fucking, you know, party game, fighting game thing.
I could see drinking games be made from this.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So that seems to be done really well. I wish there were more characters, and I wish there was more stuff to it, but... The levels are also super fun. They change as the gameplay goes on. They'll like bleed into another level.
I enjoyed that. It was like this strange interaction where it was like you're fighting everybody else, but then suddenly the world was changing and poking at you. You had that stupid Tartarus thing from the God of War hitting the ground. And
99% of the time, they were good, too. Like, good changes to the levels. And there was that one fucking level where they're like, you gotta move upwards or else you're gonna die.
Yeah. And only then, one, though. Not two, like every Smash Brothers game that's ever happened.
Yeah. So the changes are fun. Like, the one level will... It'll be like an Uncharted level, and then it turns into a BioShock Infinite level. Yes.
Yeah.
A BioShock
game Infinite that's level. Never been played.
Right.
Right, yeah. We don't even know if it's good.
You know...
Oh, this is so accurate.
That like, iconic... that iconic PlayStation 3... Or that iconic Sony property, BioShock Infinite.
Yep. All right.
It's what's next? That good.
What do we got?
What's next?
We haven't asked you what you've been playing.
We haven't even gotten anywhere. Playing anything.
You playing anything, Ryan?
You don't want to know.
Is it a turtle shell razor thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't played it yet. You don't want to know. Okay.
I played one game this week.
Oh, yeah?
And it's... I'm really sorry, because I didn't listen to the other podcasts
that you guys did. You don't really know.
But I just finished Assassin's Creed 3.
Fuck, finally. Oh my god, I need to talk somebody to you about else. This.
All right, I would
love I'm really kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
compared to
Mass Effect.
I don't know, maybe pull these guys to see if they care, because I've finished it.
No, okay, compared to Mass Effect 3, go.
I didn't play Mass Effect 3.
What the fuck?
I don't have like a million hours.
You don't need it.
Actually, you know what? I played the first Mass Effect, and I think from what I've heard, a lot of the other two Mass Effects fixed a lot of the problems, but it lost me, and so I just
really?
Yeah.
A lot of the things I looked at with Mass Effect is that it was just like a space version or of Dragon Age or a continuation of Knights of the Old Republic,
and that's why I liked it.
Anyway,
those are fun games, but
Assassin's Creed 3 ending. Okay.
Are you guys okay with giving this away?
Is it all right if I say what happens?
I want to know.
Okay, let's do a little here. Even though this means nothing for anybody who's listening, because nobody ever skips ahead through spoiler sections. For the next, let's say, 15 minutes, we're going to devote this to spoiler talk, even though it may not be 15 minutes.
My God.
Sure.
So you've been warned.
Ending.
So
starting now.
So when after
the Americans win the revolution,
the game was fine. The game was. Well, horribly, we talked about this earlier. The game was everything we talked about up until the point that I was lost on the podcast, and then you kill Haytham,
yeah,
and then after that, the story just became the series of Deus Ex Machinas.
Oh God!
Where it was just and it would just skip things or like you showed up at the dock. Where we were chasing Lee, and he had just gotten on a ferry, and then you showed up at the dock after having to like sneak there and kill a bunch of people, and you go to the dockmaster, and you say, "Where's Lee?" And he's like, "Oh, he just got on a boat." And you're like, "I need a boat too." And he's like, "Of course you do." He literally says, "Of course." Like, what?
Yeah. No. Rewind for a second. Boat. You're talking about almost the last level of the game when you are. Trying to follow Lee, and he's running through like the pier.
So who is Lee?
Don't worry about it. He's this dude who
he's the bad guy. He's a douchebag.
Yeah, you're trying to kill him. He was the guy that was trying to take out George Washington. Let's just leave it at
fuck
that.
Fuck that.
So you're running after him, like in this chase sort of gameplay where you're dodging people in the crowd to keep up with him, and then you get into this boat, and the boat just is on fire for the hell of it.
Yeah,
and then. You are chasing him, and he climbs up over this rafter. The rafter falls down and catches on fire, and then the camera is just facing that way, and you're like, well, I guess I'll go the same way he did. And then you run into the fire, and you die.
That did happen to me,
and
actually.
Then you do
I didn't die, but...
Yeah. And then you look, and it's like, well, how other way can I go in this boat? And you climb up the goddamn wall, and then it's like, oh, he got too far away from you. So having... Already replayed this section twice.
See, I didn't lose him, actually. I don't know what...
Oh, yeah. It took me two times to at least even keep up with him. Because then another time, I got stuck on a pole and fell off this thing and he got away from me. So
what's crazy
I had
is
a very frustrating
that
chase.
That was not as bad as that other one that I talked about. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose Lee at all in that. He waits for you in spots.
Chuck Norris, on the boat, yes.
Yeah.
But other times on the boat, he does not wait for
no,
you.
No, you're right. Did I? Okay. So yeah, I felt like after that plot point, which really Haytham was the most interesting character to me, and they did not resolve any of his shit. Like,
right?
Like he's a former assassin.
Is he?
That is it? Yes, I looked it up.
Okay,
but how the people I read it from on the internet, how the Assassin's Creed wiki knows, I don't fucking know because the game does not mention it at all. He has these wrist blades that he uses as a Templar. And they never address it ever. Like,
so he's an assassin.
So he's a former assassin who has gone Templar.
They do address it by saying, out of the Animus, they're like, he had wrist blades. Wonder if he got them from an assassin, or if just that's what happens with Templars sometimes.
Like,
and you're like, thanks, game, for telling me exactly what I'm thinking and offering nothing beyond that.
Here we got to band-aid the plot.
I mean, not even that. The most interesting interaction is between Haytham and Connor.
Haytham being Connor's father.
Connor's the player of the
game. Right. Connor is the player. And he's the second to last person you kill, and then the game after that is stupid. It's not interesting.
Especially like you were saying, Andy, with when you get to that section on the pier. And the guy who's like the ferryman is like, oh, you need a boat? Of course you do. And then it's like cut to a bar, and both your character and the enemy stumble in there, like bleeding their guts out, and they order like a shot of bourbon, and that's it.
And then they drink, and then you kill him. He's like, all right, you're gonna kill me. You got me. Like, and you don't get to kill him either, which is very different from every other Assassin's Creed game.
You just watch
the
it happen.
Final guy. Is a cutscene death.
Yeah.
It's pretty good dramatically, but it doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
Because you hate this dude and he hates you, and
more so than any other one of the enemies you've encountered in the game
so
far.
Kills him?
You do. But it's not physically.
Connor kills him.
It's not like push X to kill him. It's like, hey, you got to this bar. Now watch this cutscene where Connor kills him.
I can see that being cool. Where the old saying where there's not really any like a good or right side between soldiers, just which side of the battlefield you're on.
That's what they were trying to do.
But if this dude like hates you,
he literally burned down your village and killed your mother.
Oh,
like
fucking village.
Fuck that jazz. Kill him.
Anger.
Take him out.
There are the enemies that you fight in that game. Always have a sort of like moral neutrality to them where they're like, I can understand where he is coming from in his reasoning for why he's acting the way he is. Lee, however, is crazy. And just a psychopath, and you just want to put this mad dog down, and then finally you get the chance and it sucks every step of the way. And then it's like, oh, okay, the last control you have in this game is slowly dragging your shitty ass up a pair of stairs
to
get on the boat.
Stupid.
And then they take everything away from you, and you just watch him go to a bar and kill this dude.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the walk from the pier to the bar.
Where you take the route that's most direct, and then you have to redo the entire thing to go to the goddamn stairs.
I've been hurt.
That sounds familiar.
And so it's like the walk in Call of Modern Warfare 2 after the nuclear bomb has gone off.
It's like any scene of Gears of War when you have to put the hand up to the ear.
And except for nothing happens.
Except
go from the pier to the bar.
Anya never stops talking to you.
Blah, 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 blah. Anya, blah, blah.
So, nice!
We're going to shoot
where
this
are the
bitch,
roids at?
And so then... So okay, that was really unsatisfying, and I felt like they ran out of time or something. I don't know. Or they were as bored as I was.
So to continue shitting on Lost, how did you feel about the Desmond side of the story ending?
Yes, that's where I'm... I don't know where you're going with that. You can talk about that, but...
thanks.
Do you watch Lost?
Then I did watch all of Lost. I was an unwilling participant, actually, because my roommate watched all of Lost, and I lived with him.
Tends to happen with roommates.
Yeah. So anyway, Desmond was also, but Desmond has always been a vector. He's always been. Yeah. He's just been a delivery system for the story. So I wasn't like he was horribly
Except
unsatisfying.
It's always been good. Like,
well,
before this,
sort of.
Good with a W.
You wanted to play it before this?
I did.
I still want to play the next one.
But I don't think I'd...
Do you think there is a next one?
But that's the thing. When this game ends, there has to be a next one. Because
Desmond's story is over.
Desmond dies. Desmond kills himself.
WTF.
Which is what I was talking about last week when I say the option for you to control the ending of that game is taken away from you. Because it seems like there's a moment when they're like, you can pick choice A or choice B.
But he doesn't.
And then it's like, Desmond, like the screen flickers for a second and Desmond's like, I wonder what choice A is like. And then it shows a cutscene about what would happen if you did this. And then he's like, yeah, no, I'll take B.
Yeah, he literally says, the decision's been made.
Yeah.
Like, I...
That sounds rock-fucking stupid. So
they do this Moses story, and then it's like, you're fucking Desmond who decides to kill himself.
What Yeah, the idea is that these there's solar flares that are going to destroy about a significant portion of the population.
And solar flares?
This was a bit in the last part games, which I guess I totally missed.
No, yeah, I'm right with you.
And then solar flares? Once again, a la Halo, are
is
these
the Animus
forerunners.
A wormhole? What's going on here?
No, those are memories. The Animus is the worst part of this idea, because it's total bullshit.
But, the Animus is the best. What are you talking about?
So you can either choose to use your life force to give the world a shield against these solar flares while knowingly releasing a malevolent being
deity?
Imprisoned. Yeah, it's like pseudo-deity. She's a forerunner,
demigod,
basically.
That's the word.
What is this?
Or you can choose to kill off a significant portion of the population by not doing nothing.
Or B.
Yeah.
So your A is you save the world at the cost of yourself, or your B is use
but also release a bad guy.
Yeah. Or you save yourself and the world only to fall into the same cycle again in thousands of years.
What game is this?
Well,
this
you don't save the world. Creed 3. The world gets hit by a solar flare. A bunch of people die, and you get to be a leader. And
you're actually making me want to play this.
But you
game
save
the
world in the long run. Like humanity lives on and lives another day and grows to be a superpower, but then is fated to repeat the same course.
It's
again.
A choice between
taking the apple.
It's a choice between Templar or assassin, and the interest. Like so, the assassin way would be let a bunch of people die, and thereby continuing. To allow them to have the freedom of choice and to continue to make the same wrong choices because that's their right, or the Templar way, which would be to save them and then release this being that's basically going to subjugate them.
Where did this
that's funny that you bring that up. I viewed it opposite. I viewed the assassin's way was the way killing yourself to allow the world to break out of the chains of fate, to also curse the world to have to deal with the problem again, potentially. Whereas the other option is the Templar option, where you are guaranteed to suffer the same fate, but you'll be happy.
I don't think you are guaranteed. That's the point, is that everybody's free.
So this is where I say, fuck you, Assassin's Creed 3. You won in that regard.
You know what? The game got you
I've
guys
always thought
arguing.
Assassins are libertarians. So. Like, they are. It's just like, I am freedom, and it doesn't matter if I shoot myself in the foot.
Let's go back
to
the gold standard.
Because it was my idea.
You wanted to do that, but you know, it sounds to me like it's a great game to play.
It was very frustrating.
Yeah.
And you know what's really even more frustrating? Okay, so the ending was like, wow, what? Then I found out about the Vita game.
Oh, yeah?
Which is about a black woman assassin in colonial New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans.
Who is basically fighting against a system of slavery prostitution. And that's what I wanted this game, Assassin's Creed 3, to be. The whole time I'm talking about how, really, Revolutionary War, super easy choice to make and kind of boring. But the New Orleans thing is I don't know anything about colonial New Orleans or the Creole pseudo French. Thing
that makes me want to actually.
Okay, I thought Andy, you might also touch on the post game bit. Did you go and replay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you go back and you fucking find this guy sitting at your camp, and he's like, "Don't worry, young one. Your people will grow on to prosper. They will go on through many hardships, but then in the end, their lives will be elevated to something grander. And then he's like, you will suffer much, and your story will go on longer." But you have a larger purpose in this entire game. And you're like, wait a second. Are you telling me that there's going to be more Assassin's Creed games about Connor that doesn't have Desmond?
Have to be.
And also, are you telling me that this is like your, pardon the pun, your peace offering to the Native Americans here?
Oh, wow.
To use them as your story vector?
Because like, they don't really address the fact that we do end up bending the Native Americans over.
Right, they address it twice, but both times it's like your character, Connor, is such an uninteresting bastard that you're like, of course he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so wrapped up in his own sense of duty and honor, like which vengeance. Is just like this boring sheet of nothingness for him that this may as well doesn't even
happen. So, I guess what we're trying to say is it's actually a really complex game.
So, but should I play it over the holiday season? Is this something you
versus what?
Yet?
Like, it's not a matter of should you
versus
play it.
Versus the red box. Anything.
Yes, you should red box it. You can do that.
No, like, if you're going to play it, play it. But, like, are you asking, like, should I play this or Call of Duty or Halo?
Anything. If I see any of those titles on the screen, which one am I
picking? I
think
we've already made it apparent that you should play any one of those if you can. I think...
That's not good.
I think that you should play... I think that you should play Call of Duty first, because you'll finish that the quickest. Then I think you should play Halo 4, because you'll finish that the quickest after. And then Assassin's Creed can probably come last, because it's a long-ass game.
Well,
because
I'm still actually
and it's
two
probably
games behind.
The worst story of the Assassin's Creed games so
It was
far.
Very disappointing. And so basically, okay, the ending of the game is you kill yourself, you release the bad guy for the next game. Like,
I still want to know that.
And then after all, you do all this shit, you go back into the Animus, but you're not in the Animus because you're dead.
Space baby.
But then you still have the Animus interface.
Assassin's Creed in the future.
And then it gives you this weird, like, is this where you bring up the hackers?
Oh, I don't know about this yet. But but I was going to say, to be fair, they don't ever say Desmond's dead.
I guess. I mean, they could pull some Mass Effect 3 shit, and his hand reaches out of the rock.
I don't think they've decided yet whether
I think
he's
you're right.
Dead.
It's because they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so very simply, your solution is, okay, so part of Desmond's consciousness is still a part of the Animus.
Yeah, that's,
so
at
he's alive
least.
In the Animus to be your guide, right? That's the easy solution. Mm-hmm. But what happens at the end of the game is the final end of the game, into it, like, after you beat it twice or whatever.
Is Abstergo hackers, right?
Yeah, is it Abstergo, or
that's,
what is it?
That's what the wiki said.
You're finding fucking Blade Runner origamis and placing them on the map because you can hack the Animus to what end? I don't know. I tried to hack it. You have to be online to hack it. You can't be offline to hack it. The hacks get you, I don't know. And mm-hmm. there's also no way to find out where the next node to hack is unless you randomly guess.
It's also a really big part of that game is the, you do these things because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, most of that game of the side quests are like, just collect this shit. Maybe it'll pay off. Oh, fuck you, it didn't.
And
like,
have a good trip.
But the trip is fun. Like, doing the side quests are fun. It's just like, and I'm doing this. Why?
I liked the Bigfoot one. That was good.
And then this is my biggest problem with finishing that game. Now that the Desmond story is done, I have no reason to go back and finish more side quests. Because in previous games, I go back and say, like, okay, I get all the feathers and I see this weird fucking video.
Yeah.
Now it's like...
Right.
I
remember that's the only reason you wanted to keep playing it was the Desmond story.
Oh, the Desmond story was awesome in you know, Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. And now in this one, the Desmond story is still good up until the end.
It's
like,
done, though? Like, completely done.
We don't know, but
the section where you play as Desmond infiltrating Abstergo, which you mentioned, is the most empowering moment in video games in a long time.
Because if you think about it, he's like the he knows everything.
Yeah.
Like,
is that what I said last week?
You get a goddamn gun.
Yeah.
No, a regular ass gun.
Where you're just like pop pop.
The game before is like security cards come out at you and they like get into this knife fight with you. They're like, come on, man, knife fight. And you like,
oh my God, that's my weakness.
But then you pick up a gun and it's like, the game has trained you thus far to be like, you have a gun. It takes one shot, and then you reload, and it's one shot. But then you, like, I thought to myself, I was like, wait, this is a regular gun. So you just hammer on the triangle button, and you just murder everybody around you. And then after that, if that's not enough, you get something that's like, you press this button, and then murders everybody around you. And you're like, I'm so sick of this shit. I'm in control now. Right. And it's just this really good, empowering moment.
I really like that part, because I had forgotten that they still had an apple.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up to the top of the building by just killing everybody by being an assassin.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, BT Dubs, I have a thing that controls all of your minds and I can make you kill yourselves. But I didn't use it. But it was just like, oh, I'm in trouble. Shoot yourself in the face. Like,
yeah, which was a great moment. But then it also
is me want to play.
One of the worst. It's why that game is so bad in terms of its storytelling, is because it's like, well, why didn't they know?
You had such high expectations for the story, and then.
Which is just like, exactly why I compare it to Lost.
Well, yeah, yes.
Because.
And that's part of the reason
why
I didn't
like
Lost.
How do you wrap up a story that you build up so high that you're supposed to have such a profound ending for it? Well, you just fucking say everybody's dead and you put them in a goddamn church.
And he died.
No. You make him a superhero. You make him go off in the sunset.
Yeah, so Superman. So what do? You make it the Matrix 1 ending, where now Desmond is like this Superman flying around and he doesn't need the Animus.
Yeah.
But then you already had that moment. And then anything beyond that, you just have to go straight Matrix, where it just goes retarded eventually. Or you go Lost, where it's like you give an answer, you give an ending, and you just say, here are all the cards, suck it if you don't like it.
Like,
yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah.
You were going to say how much fun it was to pet the animals.
Yeah, the dogs, like, or the cats, they go...
do you want a cat? I've got one.
I have two.
Fucking I don't need it. I was like a motherfucker.
Goddamn cats.
So I'm sorry that I know that game's like 3 or 4 weeks old. Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, so, well, that's all right. I mean, spoilers done.
I was really upset. I got done with it, and I was just like, God damn it.
That's why I text you. I was like, dude, I gotta talk to you about this ending. This is pissing me off.
I was mostly upset by how lazy
I feel compared to what, when I finish it.
The Connor ending is really, really, it really angered me. Like, the Desmond ending is less angry to me because I understand that they had to set up more Assassin's Creed. Now, I naively thought that this was going to be the end, but now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
I mean, a bad guy.
And then also what I realized while I was playing this Assassin's Creed game is I was like, you know, I was always wanting you to play as Desmond as Assassin's Creed, where you're like, you're this super assassin in present day, jumping over skyscrapers and garbage trucks and street vendors.
I thought that was going to be the point. Right.
Well, but after I played this game and I was like, you're playing Assassin's Creed 3 in like this, 1770s time frame, which is approaching modern days. It's like, oh, this sucks. Like, I don't want to play this game in my world. I want to play this game as this weird lens into
this.
You want to
play it as Spider-Man in fucking New York City.
No, I don't. I want to play it. I realized I want to play Assassin's Creed as this weird lens into history that I don't know about. Like,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do understand it now. Where I'm like, I want to play Assassin's Creed as this weird game where I get to explore a culture or a time frame that I've only seen through paintings and history classes. And like, that's what I want my Assassin's Creed to be. I don't want it to be this, like, present-day Mirror's Edge, Splinter Cell bullshit.
That's fun, but it can only go so far. Like,
it is,
I mean...
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I believe that the modern-day shit can only go so far. And that is what they did in Assassin's Creed 3. By giving you that Desmond bit where you were Superman, that was it. Like, that's... I'm good now. Like,
right.
I don't need to be running through houses.
I haven't played this game. Is that gonna happen? Is that the next Assassin's Creed? Where do they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No,
because I think that they understand that is what the franchise is. It is the most educational game where you also get to stab people in the throat.
Understand that's where like most of the fans lie. You know, like make this badass guy.
Yeah. I think Ubisoft knows that the wheelhouse of Assassin's Creed is in the exploration of different venues than you would normally see in a video game.
If they pull a Modern Warfare or a Black Ops 2 with Assassin's Creed, I will not buy it principle.
They've in the single player of that story, or the outside of the Animus bits of the story, they've already said like, here are some possible venues that we could look into in terms of a story for Assassin's Creed.
Like, yeah, the one of the guys says he wants to go back all the way, basically.
Yeah.
He wants to go back to, like, the progenitor.
Yeah, which would be basically cool.
It'd be, like, Sumerian. Like,
is that a quote, or is that...
No, it's not like exactly, he wants to go to the time of the ghost people, like
which would answer your question, Ryan,
of I want my game in the future. Okay, now you have it in the future past, like it is old technology future.
The animus taps into your genetic memories, that's what is bullshit because there's not genetic memories, but it taps into the memories of your ancestors. And so you have everybody has an ancestor from like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, no, everyone's from somewhere. So
what if it was Assassin's Creed was like monkeys?
Oh, wow. Oh.
What if the next one is just Donkey Kong with a different case?
Planet of the Assassins.
That sounds like something that would be like an SNL skit. Like, they'd be like, hey, video game man, you're going to go back into the memories of your ancestors. Okay. And then the, you know, cut to scene, like men in the Revolutionary War. There's and then cut to scene.
The Templars have stolen all your bananas.
Yeah. Columbus sailing across the ocean. Cut to scene. Jesus on the cross. You're like a centurion, and then cut to scene, just a fucking monkey, like
banging.
You have
a rock
never looked more like Justin Timberlake in my life.
Oh wow!
Cut to scene, Justin Timberlake hosting SNL, doing this skit. I have no
sexy
idea
back.
What you're going for.
I don't know.
So Assassin's Creed 3 talk. You feeling good getting that off your chest, Andy?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about with that?
I apologize for future
for
talk.
Not playing it?
No, I will play this game eventually, and I will eventually be like, hey, remember that talk we had 4 months ago about this game?
Word.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm apologizing right now.
That's okay.
I played some more games. I played Mark of the Ninja.
And?
I'm sure you guys don't give a shit about that. It's good. Your dude has a tattoo across his eyes. That's weird.
Is it like World of Warcraft?
It's really good, actually. It's probably the best stealth game you'll play in a long time.
Really? What's it for?
Xbox. You can buy Xbox Marketplace.
Mark of the Ninja.
Xbox
I really like stealth
Live
games.
Arcade. It is $15, $10, something like that.
Okay.
And it is a 2D side, like not side scrolling, 2D kind of platformy game, but with made like stealth elements. But then what it does so differently from other stealth games is if you break stealth, you don't instantly lose. There's a million different ways to elude the guys coming after you. And you're still getting, like, when you're stealthy, you get points. Points you put towards upgrading your abilities. If you're not playing stealthy, you still get points. Just if you handle the situation differently. Like, you kill a guy, you get points.
You don't kill a guy, you get
other points. You distract the guy, and then you kill him. More points. You distract the guy. You don't kill him. Still points. Like, it's just, you know, it's...
The Price is Right. Or
it's a very complimentary video game. Oh, yeah. You died. That's okay. It's fucking
no.
Like 50 points.
Hey, it's a point. No points for that. No points for you.
You kicked a bottle. Hey, some points for that. Points.
It just plays really well. It's very good. It's from Clay. I don't know if that means anything to you guys. It's the company that did Shank. And Shank 2.
That was
so,
a good game.
Fun art style. Like big, fat, chunky, like
thick,
Samurai
thick,
Jack kind of looking guys.
Black lines.
Bunch of
stabbing.
Yeah, lots of blood spurts. And then it also, unlike Dishonored, does a very, very good job of telling you when you're in stealth and when you're not in stealth.
I want to say game made about the Punch Master.
All right, let's see here. Just touch on this quickly. THQ is in hot water. I don't know if you guys know much about this THQ stuff, but the company that brings you such fantastic franchises as Saints Row, wrestling games, the company that's doing the South Park game.
Did you say that together, as in Saints Row wrestling games?
It's the same thing. But, yeah, they also do real wrestling games. Darksiders franchise.
I never understood Saints Row. To my like, I was like, hey, what if it was like Grand Theft Auto, but you were more of a thug?
What
if the moral ambiguity was gone,
dude? I mean,
I still feel like
we can talk about how good Saints Row is later.
Okay.
I don't want to get into this. Listen to the podcast of 2011 Game of the Year Awards.
Fair enough.
10
Okay, with THQ podcast. Hot Water.
It has been a while.
So THQ is pretty much dead. This year they had to do an inverse split. I don't know if you guys know about economics
that
very much, but
sucks.
But if a stock splits, basically their shareholders get their stocks doubled. But then the price stays the same, so each stock individually is worth less.
But you have more.
But you have more.
So people woke up in the morning and had less stock than they had.
So if I had 4 shares of THQ, I woke up in the morning and I had 1 share.
Really?
It was a quad? Yeah. Oh, holy! Yes. That
wow. Which get this, the price. Then changed to $2.35.
This sounds a lot like when I bought some AIG stock. I'm like, hey, this is going great. And then, oh, look, here comes Mr. Big Fat Inverse. But I'm like, hey, I had like 100 shares. Now I have 30.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that they can do that.
My butt hurts.
Like, kind of theft.
There's no loss, though, right? You're not losing anything.
Their stock,
you have less to sell for a lower price.
Yeah.
You make less money if you choose to bail. But you don't technically lose money if you stick.
Exactly.
They have so many stocks out there that are so horrible in value, they decide, hey, we're going to up the value by cutting the amount of stocks out there, which essentially the price of what stock you do have goes up, but it's never enough to really offset the amount that you lose. Like, you'll lose half your shares, and the price will go up like 60%.
So to bring this back here to THQ,
and then everybody sells
quickly,
like mad.
What happened with these guys is they had this inverse split. They were able to stay listed on NASDAQ. Just recently, they had an investor's call. The investor's call was pretty much just them getting on the phone with their investors saying, we're not really having an investor's call. No questions. See ya. Then they released a press release that was like, we're not doing so hot. This is the reasons why. Poor sales. We have these upcoming things, but we're not actually going to take any questions. We are actually also talking to this third-party company that is going to help us with our finances. Now their CFO has quit.
Uh-huh. Holy shit.
Quit or got fired?
He left.
Uh-huh.
And there's nobody else to replace him.
So there's a
bailed.
Sinking
what a,
boat.
What a weenie.
Rats running out of the ship at this point. It's back down to about $1 a share.
So there's no Darksiders 3.
It'll be like the Hostess company.
So
that's have to pick up.
Why you? That's funny you bring that up, because what they've basically said is they said we're working with this third party company, and they're advising us that it may not be a bad idea to liquidate and get rid of everything we owe.
Uh-huh.
Or we own.
Hey, I'm sure George Lucas will buy something.
So yeah, hey, like they'll yeah LucasArts.
If they need something,
right?
But so that means they will be probably selling all their properties pretty soon, midway style. Like, you go to the garage sale and you pick up this, you know, hot WWF SummerSlam IP for $13,000.
Right. I wonder if that'll happen with the WWE or the wrestling ones.
Oh, are you serious?
Will they sell the? Is it technically a property, or is it just rights to use these people?
It's probably rights.
Right.
I think that. If you buy that, you get their tech.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
So the point of being able to sell it is not selling... Like, their IP is one thing to be able to sell, like, hey, would you like to own Final Fantasy?
Or Saints Row or Darksiders. Yeah. But yeah, right.
But what sells for more is, like, would you like to own this team that's able to make Final Fantasy and give you money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's going to be infinitely worth more money than if you were to just sell the possibility of or sell the rights to make such and such game.
And then what do? They liquidate.
Well, they're gone.
They get rid of their debt.
Then they're done. Then THQ is like, hey, would anybody like the THQ name?
Mm-hmm.
I
buy it.
Or they just reboot themselves like Atari and still are nowhere.
Right.
So, you know, that's a bummer because nobody likes people losing jobs.
Nobody likes that, but when's the last THQ game that came out that you were like,
Saints Row 3 was it.
Saints Row 3.
Yeah. I mean,
could you have been okay without it?
No. if I never knew about it, of course. You know? But if somebody was like, you know, it'd be like if you lived your life without ever seeing a booby, and then you're like, Yeah, if I didn't know about it, it'd have been fine. But then, you know, you see it and you're like, what?
Well, you play that glorious thing.
Right. Assassin's. What I'm trying to say is Saints Row the Third is basically like seeing a boobie. Anyway.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Other things I have here in the news quickly is this Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer was shown last week.
I did not watch it. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, we've already talked about how nobody really cares about Grand Theft Auto 5 because you guys are like, meh. Okay. But you should watch this trailer. Music, Stevie Wonder's Skeletons.
What?
So if that does anything for you.
Yeah,
are they blind?
Yeah.
It was in poor taste.
Too soon? Too soon?
I don't get it, guys.
So, let me try and set you up here quickly. What the premise is for Grand Theft Auto V is you'll be playing as three different characters simultaneously. All of the three characters...
Triple screen, like split.
No, it's...
At the same exact time.
You will be playing as three different characters on the fly. So, each character lives in a different part of the fake West Coast... Like the north, middle, and south. So you're like you're playing as like a meth dealer, like a gangbanger, and like this old money Hollywood dude who's.
So
like,
this is like a return to the San Andreas world instead of Liberty City.
You were playing in San Andreas world.
Gotcha.
But you're playing as three dudes. These three dudes team up to make a bunch of bank heists, and they're just scraping to get. By day-to-day, each one kind of has their own flavor. Like, you've got the meth dude who's, like, this unhinged, crazy guy with a mullet and on top. And just, like, he's...
A mullet with no hair on top.
Like Lynch from Kanan Lynch.
Yep.
Just nuts. Then you've got Franklin, who's the black dude who grew up with, like, you know, the mean streets and the projects. And he's the one who's trying to, like, you know, take that next step and get ahead on his shit.
The cliche.
Yeah, well, all of them are cliches.
Right.
And then you've got Michael, the white dude, who is living in, like, Northern California area, like L.A., well-to-do, has a lot of beautiful houses and properties, and he used to be in deep in some shit. Then he got out by selling out his cohorts, but now his funds are starting to dwindle, and he needs to get back into it. Uh-huh. So he enlists his friends, Franklin and...
The Danny Ocean.
Right? Yeah, yes, absolutely. So what they've specifically said is that this is supposed to be like an Ocean's 11 style game.
Gotcha.
Where you're assembling a crew, making a heist, playing through these things where you're going to make these robberies to just get back on top.
Uh-huh.
So the more and more I hear about Grand Theft Auto 5, the more I'm interested in it, and I'm ready to give it another chance. And they've also said that they're ready to try and solve that problem of open world games where it's like, if you do crazy shit... It doesn't reflect on your character in the main game.
Right.
Well, now, by building in a character who is unhinged and crazy, then you can play as him and do your crazy stuff. That's kind of the feel that I have.
You can get your four stars.
Yeah. You can get a tank and shoot it backwards to go faster or hijack a police helicopter with this guy. Because he's crazy.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Wii U also came out this Sunday.
Did it really?
Yeah, right?
That's sad.
Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
The Wii U
came out.
The Sunday. Most confusing
it's
console.
Already there.
It's there in stores. You can buy it probably.
Well, shit.
It's really not sold out.
Nobody told me. Way to go, news. Come
There's
on.
There's a reason.
So, from all accounts, it's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks really
confusing. Like, I mean, like,
I believe you.
It's pretty good.
Like, it's a thing.
Not like Jerry Seinfeld. Like, it's pretty good. Like, I mean, like, it's okay.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
So, I could go to the store tonight and get a controller that controls my video game
your
console.
Wii. Yeah, your new Wii.
My Wii.
Yeah. So, that's all there is for news. I don't know if there's anything else anybody else wants to talk about.
I'm gonna.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you got to do this next part here quickly. You may not have noticed, but Matt Lake is out this week. He's at home for the holidays, but he did email me trivia.
Ooh, what you got, Matt? What you got?
All right, Matt's got some trivia because he's been playing Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, okay. Crap.
So all his trivia is Native Americans in video game space trivia.
Oh my god.
This is
so, like a train. So turn off the podcast now. Yep. Is what, what we're saying. Because nothing of value is about to happen.
Sacagawea.
Okay, so I'm going to read Matt's clue to you guys, and I want you to...
This is not good. Just
we'll be on the honor system, right? So what just you're going to do is it. You're going to make your choice of what the name of the game is that he is describing. Keep it in your head, and then we'll go around the table and see who gets the right answer.
Okay.
Okay. So question number one, Matt asks. Matt says this is the fifth game in the series, despite the name. The main character is a mixture, or is a mixed blood, half Native American, half British. This game recently came out.
Ryan.
This is not how this works. Shush.
That's okay. The first question, really?
This is the first question, and fair, we'll go around the table, and we'll start here with Gene. We'll say, Gene, do you know what game Matt is describing here that has a Native American in it?
I don't really know, actually.
Can you name a video game?
I would say the Colonial Assassin's Creed game, whatever that's called.
What game? What's the name of the game?
I don't know. The one with the black assassin lady, the Colonial Noir.
Okay, oh, wow. That is not it. It is not Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Like Liberation, yeah.
Ryan, what is it?
Do you know what I'm going to say?
No, tell me what the name of this game is.
Mega Man.
Okay, Andy, what is the name of this game?
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes, it is Assassin's Creed 3.
You know, I wanted to say that, and then I just like, no. It can't be that.
It's just said. Okay, it's Matt's second question, and these are verbatim from Matt. He says, this is a first-person shooter. You fight dinosaurs. First came out on the Nintendo 64.
Ryan.
This is not how this works, Ryan.
What the hell is
you
this?
You don't have to name any specific game, just the series title. Gene, really? Do you know what this
is? I got it. I know it.
Oh, Indian here. Does he have a... Turok!
Yes, okay.
Should I say Mega Man or Turok?
Do Mega Man.
Mega Turok.
Mega Turok, good. We'll take that.
Yeah,
Turok.
Turok. Yeah.
All right, next one. We've got this man. Title of this game is the name of a weapon. Free-roaming game set in the 1800s American West, released on the last generation console, Xbox, PS2, as well as the Xbox 360.
Fun. No, the name of the game or the weapon?
The name of the game is a weapon.
Deadeye comes to mind, but I don't...
Final answer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Ryan, anything?
Harvest Mega Man.
Andy?
Wait a minute.
Mega Man X.
It's not like Shadow Man, is it?
This is Gun.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
No, that was current generation.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It is Xbox, PS2, as well as the Xbox 360, as Matt stated.
That was the game I was trying to think of, because you had the Deadeye power.
Well, you can have a half point, then.
Okay, question number four. The beginning of this game has you being abducted by aliens. This is currently a sequel. There is currently a sequel to this game in development that is in danger of being canceled. When you die, you go to the spirit world where you have to fight back in order to live again.
I'm playing this game. The opening part has "Don't play the Reaper." I can't think of the name because it was such a terrible game.
Everybody, shout out what they think the name is.
Earthbound.
No, it's like Pariah or Para. It's got a P in it or some crap.
There's a P in it. Yeah.
God. Damn it.
I'll give you a third point, or a fourth point, because the name is Prey.
There you go, yeah.
Prey.
You go Prey. And get abducted by this giant space cube that allows you to eat people. Congratulations.
All right, the answer is Prey.
Yes. Number five. Horrible game. The Native American character made his debut in the third installment of this series. This game series is well known for its violence and was very controversial when it debuted. The series is loosely based on Enter the Dragon. Once again, just the name of the series, not any specific game.
Ryan, Mega Man.
Mortal Kombat.
Mega Man.
It's Mortal Kombat. Nice, Sandy. He's talking about... Does anybody know who he's talking about?
Nope.
Shao Kahn? Nope.
No. I don't know what he's talking about at all. I just, you know, known for violence.
Nightwolf, I think, is the
name. Nice. I never played the third one.
So. No. I own that. he shot blue arrows.
Green arrows. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, they turn green later in the more recent one. Okay, question number six. Quite possibly the first erotic video game. Rape is featured in this game.
Mega Man.
On the Atari 2600.
Oh my god, I think I know this. Custer's Last Stand?
Very close.
I don't know.
It's Custer's Revenge.
Damn it. I knew it was Custer's something.
That's a quarter point.
Custer's Rape Boner. Is featured.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like General Custer. Custer's Revenge.
And I played the shit out of that game.
Okay. Question seven. This fighting game series has 44 titles, though not all of them are Street just Fighter. About fighting. The Native American character is part of the Thunderfoot tribe. This game series first debuted in 1987 on the Amiga, Commodore 64, and other platforms. The series, not any specific game, says Matt.
Virtual Fighter?
Ryan Street Fighter?
Mortal Kombat.
It is Street Fighter.
Yeah. I did not know that it started on the Amiga.
I didn't know that either.
That threw me.
Yeah.
I didn't really think it was Mortal Kombat.
It was probably arcade first, and then you could port it to the Amiga.
Huh.
Anyway.
1987, there's about three games you can have.
I also thought it was too early, actually. I didn't think it was in 87.
Yeah. Okay, number eight. This is another game set in the American Outlaw West. As the main character, you are forced to hunt down your former gang members. The end of this game lets you play as the main character's son. What is it, Ryan?
I don't know. Red Dead Redemption.
What is it, Gene?
Pokemon Red.
That's Red Dead Redemption, right?
Yes, yeah. It is Red Dead Redemption.
I never finished that
Good
game.
Good guess on Pokemon Red, though.
Part of it.
You're tracking 9-year old gang members.
Hey, play as the main character's son. Native Americans in games. Yep. Okay, this game is part of a critically acclaimed RTS series for the PC. Other games have taken place in the medieval era, Shogun Japan, and Rome. This game takes place in the 18th century.
Got it.
What is it,
What's
Andy?
Your name?
Age of Empires.
I was going to say Age of Empires.
Ryan, Age of Empires 2.
No, it is Empire Total War.
Oh, well, then I don't care.
See ya. Trapdoor opens up underneath everybody. Last question on Matt's list. You play as the McCall brothers during the Civil War era America. The follow-up to this game was set in the modern era, dealing with drug cartels.
Oh.
This game is an FPS published by Ubisoft.
Call of Juarez.
Call of Juarez 2. Return of Juarez.
Sorry. Good enough. It is the Call of Juarez, the cartel.
Who actually
It is Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood is the full name of the sequel.
Oh, okay. All right.
Play that game?
Good enough. Matt also has some tiebreaker questions here, which we'll just do for the hell of it. Who is the main character, or who is the main actor in the Assassin's Creed movie going to be?
They're making a movie.
Ryan? Mega Man?
Okay, yep, it's Mega Man. Second question.
Shia LaBeouf.
Which assassin will Michael Mega Man Bender be?
Michael Fassbender will be Desmond.
Mega Man?
He'll be Michael Phelps, otherwise known as Altair.
Really? Oh, really?
According to Matt,
Fassbender is not of Arab descent. Like,
what do you mean this totally German dude can't play a Middle Easterner?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow.
Is this Uwe Boll directing it?
Hopefully. No, it's actually a respectable director. Last question for Matt. What is the name of the new Nintendo console?
Ryan, Wii U?
False, it's Mega Man.
Mega Man.
All right, guys, that was a good time.
Good work, team.
Boss Barrel Radio, episode 99 in the bag. Happy Turkey Day, everybody. Eat yourselves to death. Thank you, Gene Sofer, Ryan Fielder, Andy Poppin. I'm Griffin Hoffman. This has been another show, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.